your confirmation, and then that strengthens that demon on you. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Lord, I don't hear nobody say, why don't I hear nobody say an amen right there? You don't get excited because somebody can prophesy to you, because they're consulting with the stars. But unless they prophesy and interject in that prophecy, your lifestyle. Because a true prophet will say, baby, he'll give you a house, God gonna bless you, but honey, you got to clean up. Now that's a balanced prophecy, y'all. Y'all, I'm not getting nobody to say amen. Baby, I see great things. God take you to the nation, but he gonna kill you first, honey. He gonna birth you out. He gonna dig your gut out, because there's a whole lot of junk down in you that ain't right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know you own a true prophet when they able to dig your spirit out and then throw you to your destiny. If they... Okay. Y'all, let me tell you something. Lord Jesus. Okay, when you get under God, the Bible said that Asa, a descendant of Rehoboam, mama's name was Micaiah, and Asa was trying to resurrect the stuff, because Rehoboam had jacked it all up. And Asa was a descendant of David, so they were trying to get it right. The Bible said his mama erected an Asherah in the temple. And it says, and he dethroned his mama from being the queen mother. This demon jumps in all ages. It ain't no... What am I trying to say? From age to age to age, all the way to Ahab. He would not do the will of God. And when you do not do the will of God, you open yourself up to the Baal spirit. Now watch this. And when you open yourself up to the Baal spirit by rebelling against God, then you are immediately introduced to Jezebel. Okay, y'all, I just want one person to say, you helping me. I'm really understanding. Okay, let me help you with something. Jezebel didn't take over nothing. Jezebel took over. She didn't take over. Jezebel walked in relinquished authority. Jezebel walked in the place that Ahab gave up. Okay, I'm going to help you right now. So that means Jezebel is not the sister in our church with the high heels and the short skirt that's after the pastor. Jezebel is anybody who God done told to pray, and you haven't started your prayer ministry yet. Okay, I'm not hearing nobody say nothing right now. I'm not hearing nobody say nothing right now. Because if you can't say amen, say ouch. Because if you're in this place tonight and God has given you an assignment and you have not yielded to that assignment, hello, Jezebel. Because if I tell you what you're doing now, let me tell you what you're doing now. Let me tell you what you're doing now. When you say, okay, if God says preach and you say no, then the spirit of the Baal is obligated to give you a new assignment. You don't hear me. You don't hear me. That's why you got people in the body of Christ doing stuff that God ain't never called you to do. You in the choir. God said be an intercessor. You still singing. You don't hear me. What does that mean? You in somebody else's job. You done did just like Jezebel. You done signed your name. You done put your seal on there. God didn't tell you to sing. He told you to pray. And as long as you are out of order, you are under the spirit of Jezebel. It's quiet in here now. It's quiet in here now. Because you know why we so chaotic right now? You know why the church across the nation is so chaotic right now? Because this is pop. Pastors, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're a pastor in this church. Raise your hand. If you, I don't care if you. Why y'all acting scared like y'all want to raise your hand now? So raise your hand, everybody going. Now some people saying I was a pastor 20 minutes ago. Okay, I'm finna love on you. I ain't gonna cut you. I ain't got a knife. Okay, let me try that one more time. All the pastors, raise your hand. Let me see your hand. I ain't gonna cut you. I promise. You. I ain't got no knife. I'm gonna give you some vital information. I'm gonna give you some vital information. See, you will know when the spirit of Jezebel has entered. And guess what? See, that spirit starts at the back. That spirit weaves its way. And what it does, it sits back and it, you don't believe this, it can pick up the desire of the man of God. That spirit can feel your passion. So when you get up and you say, I just want God to be glorified. I just want us to have some stuff that God wants us to have. Da, da, da. And so what that spirit does is it checks out everybody in the church who are not in the right place. And it comes to the man of God and say, oh, you need a worship leader? I'll do it. Oh, you need a soup kitchen? I got some connections over here. My friends know some people at the government. I can get you $50,000 tomorrow, Pastor, because God sent me to you. And I'm telling you, I'm with you for life because I know you my spiritual father. I'm going to get that soup kitchen for you. So Jezebel get the soup kitchen for you. And then, watch this. Then Jezebel calls the church one day and don't nobody answer. Pastor, I called the church 4 times and nobody answered. Where's the secretary? See, that's what I'm talking about. People all around you, they need to get on their job. Because the job of a spirit of Jezebel is to discredit everybody that you got trust in so that that person can look like they're the ones for your life. I'm not getting nobody to talk back to me. And I really wish I had a church in here tonight that would just say amen or something. People that have served you for years and they may not be perfect. But you know you can count on their spirits loving God. Yeah, they're going through a transition where they're out of the will of God. But Jezebel will come and paint. Her spirit is exaggeration. Exaggerated body parts. So she exaggerates everything. She makes you think that nobody's with you. And everybody is talking about you. And don't nobody really love you and see your vision but me, Pastor. And that spirit can jump on a male or a female. Why am I preaching hard in here tonight? Because I'm preaching tonight. You don't have to say amen to this because I know I got a message. My Holy Ghost is saying amen to me. And so when you look up, you got a one-man band. You got Jezebel who's over the choir. And if she ain't over the choir, she running stuff with the choir. He running stuff. He running the parking attendant. Everybody. And now all of a sudden, can't nobody get the pastor unless they ask you. Okay, I'm not hearing nobody talk to me in here because something is... Is something wrong? Is my mic on? Because all of a sudden the amens are going. And I know some of y'all can't say amen because you're guilty, but it's all right. I'm here to help you. A Jezebel spirit will sit in church and you're out of the will of God, but you got something to say about everybody. You don't like the praise team. You don't like the outfits and why they wearing that. And why pastor got the stage like that? And this don't look like a church. And this don't look like a sanctuary. And why do they march like that? And why they got the lights like that? Jezebel spirit will complain about everything until you put her in charge. And once she gets in charge, all of a sudden, it's a beautiful church. It's a wonderful church. It's a powerful ministry. Okay, let me come back here because y'all looking to look quiet to be back here. Everybody, now I'm going to have to take a walk now because y'all done got too quiet on me. Am I preaching? Am I preaching? That spirit never agrees with anybody. It can't agree with anybody. Because you know what? And then the next thing you know, when she has subliminally, and listen, it's not always sexual. She seduces in the mind. She seduces in the spirit. She seduces by the way she helps. And when that seduction takes place, then that spirit will start telling you, Pastor, you know what we need? We need a children's church that's bigger than anybody's in the nation. God ain't told you that. So Jezebel, start bringing you ideas about stuff that God ain't never told you to do. And then you start taxing the members to build Jezebel a children's church when God ain't never told you that your ministry was a children's church. He told you. You know, something keep happening in this building. Because when I come down here, the power down here, when I go back there, the power back there, it won't balance out. Because when that spirit gets your ear of influence, then it starts telling you, you know what you ought to do with your ministry, Murphy? You ought to take your records and you ought to just go out on a park somewhere and you ought to get out there and it'll start introducing stuff to you that sounds so big. And guess what? That spirit has all the connections to make the first assignment go over big so you can trust them with everything else. You don't hear what I'm talking to you. That spirit can bring you more money than anybody has ever brought you because a part of seduction is to over-exaggerate stuff. That's why ministries that only preach about money and blessings, that scares me because the spirit of Jezebel will keep you going after stuff. don't hear nobody talking to me. Ahab's kingdom came down because of stuff. Ahab came from a crooked lineage, a crooked background. But he don't know how to get nothing straight. What am I saying to you? When that spirit picks up that there's a part of you that don't want to wait on God. Woo, hallelujah. When that spirit picks up on you that there's a part of you that don't want to walk in the patience and the making of your ministry and the making of the thing that God has for you. When that spirit senses that you don't want to wait on God, then that spirit picks up that you don't want it God's way, you want another way, and it will get you whatever you want the wrong way. That's why you don't hear what I'm saying. Lord have mercy. That's why Jezebel looked at Ahab and said, you want that land? You want Naboth's land? I'll get it for you. God didn't intend for him to have it. She said, you want it? I'll get it for you. I'll get it for you. Because what am I saying? When your spirit stop desiring God's way, there's another demon that'll give you another way. But the Bible says that the end of that way is destruction. Who am I preaching to besides myself in here tonight? Touch your neighbor and say, you better wait on God. You better be still and wait on God. If God told you to jump in one place, I'm going to jump till he tell me to move. I'm not going nowhere. If God tell you to paint the church, he ain't called me to preach. I'm going to paint the church until God tell me something else. I'm not going to let no Jezebel spirit come and prophesy something to me that God does not intend for me to be. I'm going to wait on God. Am I helping anybody? Oh, I'm just preaching hard. Now, which is it? Am I helping anybody? Am I just preaching hard? I'm just... See. That Jezebel spirit. See, God got to maneuver stuff. And the spirit of the Lord like a chess game. He got to shift and move people and move stuff and move situations. It's like he's shifting. Because he's making a way. Now, if you've ever seen a chess game, you got to, it ain't like checkers. Because see, checkers, you get there and you jump. You jump and you take it. Folk ain't walking stuff out no more. They just playing checkers. Oh, I see a good opportunity. It don't matter that I just offended Sister So-and-so who been working in this position for 9 years before I got here. It doesn't matter that I didn't come to her and say, I would like to work with you because I had skills at my old church, but I don't want to override nothing that y'all doing. So I want to submit myself. That spirit want to jump and take. But see, when you commission yourself to do it God's way, then you got to play chess. You can't jump and take. You got to be sure.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But you know, to live our life with precision, it requires some things that sometimes don't really seem that important, like being organized. It's very important that we get organized. I'm talking about in your personal life, to organize your life, your habits from day to day, what you're doing. How do you process all the things that's coming at you? You got to have a system of how you deal with things, how you process information, how you process good information, how you process bad information. You got to be organized in your thinking. Amen? Now, the definition of the word organized is this: to be arranged in a systematic or orderly way. To put things in particular order. To order or to arrange things so that they can be found or used easily and quickly. In other words, an example of this would be to organize something would be to take something that's messy, chaotic, unordered, or unstructured, and to rearrange it in a logical, systematic, structured, orderly way. You know, most of the time at home, our kids' rooms get out of order. So what you do? You tell them to do what? Clean it up. What are you telling them? Put some things back in order. It's too much chaos in here. To disorganize is to arrange things randomly, patternless, planless, and unsystematically. And so if we're going to see God's glory and we're going to see God's best blessings in our life, then we're going to have to pay attention to how we organize our life, how our lives are organized, how our activities are organized, how the things that we do are organized. And I'm going to show you why this is so important. But first, let me give you some scriptural references. The kingdom of God is well organized. The kingdom of God is not random at all. Everything has a plan and a purpose. Everything has a place. God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. In fact, the scripture tells us that God is not the author of confusion. He doesn't author confusion. There ain't no confusion in heaven. And when somebody tried to create some confusion, they got kicked out. Disrupted the order there. The kingdom of God is very orderly. In Genesis, we see the plan and purpose for creation. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see the plan for God's creation, that God had a plan. Amen. God had a systematic, ordered approach to creation, didn't he? I mean, if you look at it, there's a systematic way he did everything because he's very organized. Amen. And because he's so organized, there's a precision that he functions with because he is perfection. He is perfection personified. He is so precise that when he finished his work, when he set out and said, I'm going to create this, he did it in an orderly, systematic way. And then when he looked at it, he said, this is good. So being organized is not a bad thing. It's actually good for you. Everything was created in a systematic, orderly fashion. And then he called his work good. All right, let me give you some other examples out of the Bible. Noah had to build an ark, but he couldn't build just any old ark. He just couldn't build any kind of boat. Guess what God did? Gave him a pattern, told him how to construct it. That meant that Noah had to be organized. There was an organized approach to building this boat that was going to house all the animals and save his family, those 8 people that got saved from the great flood. So that was not something he didn't just say, Noah, just go build a boat. No. It was very detailed, very planned out, very organized approach to it. It took many years to do it, too. So it tells you that you got to be really consistent and you got to be diligent to stay with whatever plan God got you on. Amen. 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 In Exodus, the tabernacle had to be constructed according to the pattern that God gave Moses. Do you know why? Because we find out in the book of Hebrews that the tabernacle that Moses built was simply a pattern or are an example of the tabernacle that existed in heaven. That's why God gave him such great detail, because all he was doing was creating a duplicate on earth. There's a tabernacle in heaven, glory to God, and when God spoke to Moses, he said, now you make sure you build it according to the pattern that I gave to you. There's a purpose behind it. So it was very organized, very strategic, very organized, because he was setting the stage for Messiah to come. Way back then, in Leviticus, the sacrifices had to be offered in an orderly, systematic way. There were certain things you could sacrifice and certain things you couldn't. So it wasn't just, we just pick something and just sacrifice it. You know, that's kind of like what Cain did. Cain said, I worship the way I want to worship. I'll bring some fruit. And the Lord rejected his offering because there was an order established. It's organized. We don't think about God as being that way, but he is. Amen. Now, catch this here. Even with the sacrifices, you remember when Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain, the Bible says, and he arranged the wood. In other words, there was even a way you had to arrange the wood when you got ready to offer sacrifice. He was very detailed. God's very organized. And Satan will use disorganization to hinder God's plan in your life if you're not watching, if you're not careful. Catch this one right here. Rahab, the harlot, in Joshua chapter 2, he had two spies with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. So guess what? When it came time for an emergency situation, when two spies showed up, Rahab didn't have to organize a place to hide them. You wonder why God chose her? Out of all the people in that city that were saved, Rahab and her father's household were the only people that came out of that place alive. But then I looked at the scripture, and just the detail there was that on a rooftop, she had stalks of flax. That was fiber. That was like yarn or thread or linen. So she had them all organized. The Bible says they were in order up on the rooftop, and she hid them among those stalks of flax. She already had a place prepared. So that's another thing that organization helps you. It helps you be prepared for strategic moments. She hid them among the stuff that she normally worked with. But this woman was organized. She didn't just throw her stuff up on the roof. You know how some people do? Look, just throw that yarn up there on the roof. Take all that linen, just put it up there. It don't matter. No, the Bible says, listen to what the scripture says, which she had laid in order upon the roof. It's amazing how little words can make a big difference when the Holy Ghost shines a spotlight on something, how he pulled things out of them scriptures. She was organized. Amen. Rahab was prepared for her assignment by organizing stalks of flax or linen, and it saved her life and her father's household and put her in the lineage of Jesus Christ. My God. A simple act of making sure that what you're doing is organized. Never know how it plays a part in your destiny. I remember when I was working as an engineer, God dealt with me about staying organized and knowing where stuff was and knowing where I was on projects and things like that. And so whenever my boss would come by and ask a question, Greg, weigh in on that, I didn't have to say, let me get back with you. I could always give him an answer of where I was. And it was because of the way the Lord was leading me to stay organized. And then the reason why I remember it, because he made a comment one day. He said, You can always ask Greg where he's at, and he can always tell you. And that caused him to give me even more responsibility. So that created an increase for me in promotion. Praise God. All right, how about Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat got a strategy from God in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But, you know, when they went out to go take care of these three kings, guess what happened? He put the singers in front of the army. Now, they was organized, not randomly. How many of y'all can see that? That God had a strategic plan in a certain way he wanted it done, and you just got to do it his way. Right. Amen. Everybody say, doing it his way. Amen. Joshua led an organized attack upon the city of Jericho, and a wall that was thought to be impenetrable came crashing down. This was a strategic strategy full of supernatural power when obeyed. This was not random. It was not a random, unorganized attack. So what did he do? He said, look, I've given Jericho into your hands. Well, that means just take off running and go toward it? No, that ain't what he did. God had a plan for them to march around it 7 days, you know, one time each day for 6 days. On the 7th day, go around it 7 times. On the 7th day, blow the trumpet, and the walls came down. Praise God. How about Gideon? He started out with 32,000. And what did God say? He said, everybody that's scared, go home. He lost 2/3 of his army. 22,000 out of 32,000 left. So he's got 10,000 left. Now, what's amazing about this is that they got to go against an army of 135,000. So you couldn't hardly stand and lose no men, but God said, if they feel for, I can't use them. Get everybody scared. Everybody that's afraid of dying. Get rid of them. So they sent 22,000 packing. He got 10,000 left. He said, now I'm going to prove them. You still got too many. Take them down by the brook, and then I'm going to prove them. Everybody that lapped like a dog. He said, I'm going to use them. Only the ones that got on their knees and kept watch. And reached down and put their hands together and drank like this. 300 of them. He said, now, I'm going to deliver Midian into your hand with 300 men. An army of 135,000 going to be taken out by 300. And then Gideon, after he got instruction from the Lord, arranged them in certain places, in strategic places.
Come on.
Yes. Glory to God. I mean, I could go on and on and on. God's a God of order. He's very organized. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days by organizing the people and giving them specific tasks that kept them focused on their assignment. You know, opposition kept coming, and Nehemiah just kept adjusting his plan, staying organized. So it got to a point where they were building the wall with a brick in one hand and a sword in the other one. 5 times he was challenged by his adversaries to come down off the wall. Guess what he said? Nehemiah 6, 3 through 5. Each time he systematically responded, I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? So no matter what they tried, he said, I'm doing a great work. In other words, he's very organized, very systematic in what he was doing. And he says, I'm not going to be distracted from the assignment that God has given me. See, disorganization bring unnecessary distraction. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, Jesus is a great example, and he's the best example of everything because he's the ultimate, but he's a great example. To be organized is to have structure, a systematic approach, a way of doing things.